up another episode of Scott Speaks here on the Roplad Network. November 13th, 2024. It's very late. It's after 12:40 in the a.m. here on a Wednesday morning. I'm recording a pod because the family and I, that's right, Jamie, Isla, and I are all taking a flight in the morning, headed over to North Carolina to visit Jamie's family. Her parents, her siblings, her nieces, nephews, all that good stuff. She made this trip last year with Isla by herself. We've talked about that a couple times. I still don't know why she went by herself. It's like she just started planning it, and it was just, we talked about it a lot, and it was assumed, at least this is my recollection, it was assumed that her going alone was just how it was going to be. And then when it came time, like a week or two before, it was kind of like, you know, she was like, why are you not going? So I said, all right, next year I'll go with you. So I am going. I'll be doing a little work while I'm there because I, you know, with the new job, I can't just take what would be 4 business days off. I don't have much time off accrued. I mean, I could if I really wanted to. I'm sure my boss would let me. But anyway, so that's happening. We leave at in about 10 hours. So in a concerted effort to not have to take this personal laptop, because I am taking my work laptop, so in an effort to not have to take both laptops again, as I usually do, I figured I'd record a pod this evening. So here I am. I'm going to record it, upload it, and then not have to take my personal laptop. So anyway, so it'll just be a Scott Speaks episode this evening. And I'll be honest with you, I've thought for the past few hours, off and on, not the whole time, obviously, but off and on, about what to talk about. As I often do. I will say that it was a little over a year ago that I did easily the most impactful and most well-received or most responded to, most interactions, Scott Speaks that I've ever done, when I posited that my running career might be over. It was probably closer to 13 months ago now, but a little over a year ago. And I've thought about that a lot recently for some reason. Mostly because I've just kind of gotten to that point where a lot of the feedback that I got from people was, you know, look, just take what your body gives you. If you're able to go run 5 or 6 miles, go run 5 or 6 miles. If you can do it at 9-minute pace, do it at 9. If you can do it at 7, do it at 7, all that sort of stuff. And I have kind of taken that to heart and been like, all right, that makes sense. You know, I've known for several years now that I've already run the fastest 5K I'm ever going to run. I've already run the fastest mile I'm ever going to run. And even though I have made multiple attempts in the past 5 to 6 years, we'll say, to go out there and, you know, put up it's all relative, right? To go out there and put up a really fast time for post-masters runner. Even though I've made several attempts, even kind of trained for that, I'm just like, look, I'm just going to roll with it. I do a lot more the percentage of runs that I do with Stella as opposed to by myself is much higher than it's ever been. And for those that don't know, obviously, Stella is my dog. And for those that can't figure it out, when you run with your dog, A, you're not doing as much running, meaning there's frequent stops to sniff things and pee. And Stella stops and sniffs and pees too. I know. But seriously, there's frequent stops to sniff and smell things. And in addition, there are there are plenty of just slower miles. and fewer miles. So what I typically will do is, again, most of my runs Monday through Saturday are with Stella. And then Sunday has, for 3+ decades, been my long run day. So while my long run currently is much shorter than it used to be, I will almost never take Stella on my Sunday long run. And that one I kind of focused on and on myself and just run as many miles as I can. Maybe 4 miles, 5 miles, 6 miles, who knows? But, and that's just kind of the cadence that I'm on for now. And I'm okay with that. Again, I mentioned doing some, time trial type stuff. I'm still not completely beyond the idea that I could do that again, whether it's a mile or 5K or whatever. I recently heard this about this bet. By the way, if you're listening to this, you're like, he's just going to talk about running. I don't intend to talk about running the whole time, but here we are. I recently heard about this bet. It's very late, so I'm going to yawn a lot. It was between two high-stakes gamblers, one of whom is, I'm going to say 35. I'm going to guess their ages. The other one, 45. The 35-year-old is a former collegiate D1 Oregon runner, miler. Like, his PR in the mile, I think, is right at 4, maybe sub 4, maybe just over 4. The other guy, 45 years old, I think is been an athletic guy for most of his life. I think he plays a lot of tennis, but never has really been a runner. And so the bet was, and I don't know how much time they gave each other, maybe 3 or 4 months to train, but the bet was they're going to run a 5K on the track, which if you don't know is 12 and a half laps at your local high school track. And the bet is the younger guy, who for the record, from everything I've heard, is upwards of 40 to 50 pounds over his his fighting weight, if you will, when he was a collegiate runner. And maybe is out of shape. I don't know. But the bet is if the older guy gets lapped twice, he loses. If he gets lapped just once, it's a push. And then if he doesn't get lapped at all, he wins. So the question becomes, what is the best strategy for both guys for this race? Now, obviously, training is a whole other conversation I'm not going to go into. But for the race itself, so let's first take it from the perspective of the younger guy. Let's say it's 3 months. He has 3 months to get back in shape. You're 35 years old. Your body's going to bounce back. Certainly not to his prime shape, but let's say it gets back to pretty decent shape, which I could have done at 35, especially, and there's like $500,000 on the line. Again, these are high stakes gamblers, but so let's say you get back to really good shape and let's assume they don't know what the other is doing. They know historically what they've been able to do, but let's say they're not tracking training of the other person or whatever. Maybe through rumors, but they're not posting it to Twitter. I don't know if that's part of the bet or not. The question becomes, okay, the gun goes off. It's just over a 3-mile race. Are you like going out guns blazing to very quickly go ahead and lap him once? It might take 5 or 6 of the 12 and a half laps. Let's say it takes 6 laps and you lap him. Okay, well now all you have to do is stay in front of him, and you at least push on the bet. Depending on how you feel when you lap him after 6 laps, and depending on how he is doing, maybe at a certain point, lap 9, lap 10 at the latest, I would think, you might say, all right, let's see if I can lap him a second time and get this half milli. That's the question. Do you really go balls to the wall and get that first lap under your belt? Do you run a very even rate? Like just run, let's say he gets down to where he can run a 16-minute 5K. Do you just go out there and run a 16-minute 5K and whatever he does, it is what it is, with the obvious caveat that if with a lap or two to go, you're like, all right, he's 10 meters in front of me. I haven't lapped him yet. I'll make sure I get him. Or do you wait? Do you go out for the first six laps and just chill? Like, do whatever he's doing. And then it becomes a mile and a half race. I don't know. I feel like I've thought about this for a number of hours over runs, not surprisingly. I feel like I would do that. I'd go out as not as fast as I could. You don't want to completely run out of gas, but from the gun, I would make sure I had a substantial lead. And it was moving at a pace that I know he could not keep up with. So he's very quickly thinking, all right, I'm just going to give up this first lap. So that mentally you already have him defeated. So even if it takes 8 or 9 laps to get that first lap of him, you're still safe. And then again, you just play it by ear. You know, maybe in the final 800, you can just blitz it and see what happens. I don't know. That seems not possible. But so that's the strategy I think I would do from the 35-year-old guy. Really just push it. Try to, by lap 6 or 7, 8 at the latest, have that first lapping of him under my belt. Now, from the 45-year-old guy, and again, all you're trying to do is not get lapped twice, and I see the younger guy take off from the gun, do I follow him? Do I risk completely running out of gas and then losing the bet? Or, again, if I think that he's going to run about a 16-minute 5K, and I think I can run about an 18-minute 5K, which would almost certainly, you would not be lapped twice, do I just, again, kind of run my race? Or, and this would be a lot harder for the known slower of the two runners, or do I, from the gun, just kind of chill, wait until he catches up to me, and then, again, just shorten the race? I don't think it makes sense to shorten the race if you're the older, slower runner, but maybe there's some logic there. I don't know exactly what it would be, but it's possible there's some logic. So just a lot of thoughts that you could have on this bet. I think the actual race itself is taking place in January. I think it's taking place in Vegas, which is why you can do it in the middle of winter, because conditions will actually be ideal at that point in time. I don't know if it's being streamed or anything, but it's something I would definitely love to watch, just to see what the tactics are, again, specifically of the guy who's a known superior runner. I'm very curious how he would handle the whole situation. So keep an eye on that. By the way, I don't know his Twitter handle, but the two guys that are doing it, Brandon Adams is the older guy, and Chris Brewer is the younger guy. So maybe you guys can look that up on Twitter or something. Just find their handles and see if they're talking about it. Let me know if you do, by the way. TheBroPodNetwork@gmail.com. TheBroPodNetwork@gmail.com. Shoot me a note if you find anything out about the race. I'm sure very little research, I can figure it out. I just haven't done it yet. But I heard about the bet and I was like, intriguing. So that's a sporting event that's coming up. Along those same lines, something that literally just popped into my head as I was thinking about it, because I think it's happening Friday night, maybe Saturday, probably Saturday. Maybe Friday night, because Saturday's college football. Is the Tyson-Paul fight, Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight. I'm sure most people listen to this podcast or are listening right now do not care about boxing, and that's fine. If anything, we might have some people that, you know, are UFC fans, but that's probably where it ends. I will say this. Mike Tyson, I believe, is 58. Jake Paul is like 30. Sounds right. Mike Tyson at his peak was, and still is, if you're talking about boxers at their peak, including all the greats, was the most feared boxer in the world. The single punch power was beyond anything that's ever existed. So even at 58, even 30, maybe 30 plus years past his prime, I don't know that punching power just goes away completely. So if I'm Jake Paul, who again has fought what I think most would consider some legitimate fights. I'll give credit where credit is due, if I must. I'd be a little weary of that. If I'm his trainer, I'm like, just don't get hit by the hook. The inside hook, which was kind of Tyson's punch du jour for many years, he'd get up close in a clinch, and then boom, this hook would come out of nowhere and knock dudes out. If you ever played Mike Tyson's Punch Out on Nintendo, you know what I'm talking about. I don't think that's something that people would have to worry about, but that Jake Paul would have to worry about. People in general shouldn't either, but because again, that's something where the age would impact the speed, which would impact the likelihood of that happening. However, maybe it's still there, and maybe Jake Paul is slow enough that he, you know, was never at the level of some of the opponents that Mike Tyson used that punch on. And so even Mike Tyson at 60% of the speed that he used to have, or whatever the number is still a danger to throw that punch and have it land. I think this is going to be, there's always modified rules for these kind of, I don't even know what they call these exhibition bouts, if you will. Like Tyson fought Roy Jones Jr. It was probably 7-8 years ago, and it was bad. It was real bad. Two guys that were pretty badly out of shape, certainly from their primes, and just not it stunk. But I think this one's 8 rounds, 2-minute rounds, I think. So as most of you probably know, unlike UFC, which I believe is 5-minute rounds, boxing is typically 3-minute rounds and 12 of them. So, you know, a total of 36 minutes in the ring of action time. This one is 2-minute rounds and 8 of them. So 16 minutes. So a fraction of what you would normally do. You know, 2/3 on both sides. 2/3 number of rounds, 2/3 the number of minutes within the round. So what exactly will happen? I don't know. I am a betting man, as almost all of you know. If I were betting on this fight, which I am not, and you know, you gave me $100 to put it down, I think I'd bet on Tyson. I think that's the betting favorite right now. It's where more of the money is going versus going to Jake Paul. So it'll be interesting. I mean, you know, youth is really important. That's why I made this transition from talking about how I didn't really talk about it, but acknowledging that I used to be a faster runner who was able to run further, and now I'm slower and can't run as far. I'd imagine it's the same thing with Tyson. I mean, I know it is. You can just see it in his body type. You get older, less testosterone, there's less ability to build muscle, and your quickness has gone too, so, or at least on the downward slope. So it'll be interesting. Again, I will be out of town. I know it's on Netflix. I might still be able to watch it. I need to figure out what night it is. Probably Friday, just so as to not compete with college football. But I need to figure out what night it is and then see if the Airbnb we're staying in has Netflix on the big screen TV. But I would like to watch it, and hopefully I'll be able to. But anyway, so that's coming up. That should be entertaining, interesting. Again, I know I just talked mostly about Tyson. I really don't give Jake Paul a puncher's chance, pun fully intended. It just feels like he is completely outmatched. By the way, when I'm saying this, I mean to win the bout. These sorts of exhibition style matches oftentimes are a draw. They go the distance. I'm not saying they're necessarily a hung jury, if you will, a true draw, but everyone wants to see a knockout. Anytime anyone has ever watched Mike Tyson fight, you just want to see him knock the other guy out. I just don't know if that's going to happen. Again, remembering watching at Todd's house, by the way, in Maryland, the Roy Jones Jr. Mike Tyson fight, it was a lot of dancing around. There was not a lot of punching. They clearly were like, I think they got like $2 million or $5 million each. It was some like flat fee. There was, unless they'd bet on themselves, there was seemingly no incentive to win. At least that's how it played out, just watching them do the fight. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm not holding my breath for something good, as I think I already alluded to, but who knows? Stranger things have happened, that's for sure. So that's coming up this weekend as well. Speaking of Stranger Things, that's the show of transitions. The trailer for season 5 came out a week or two ago. It's kind of a non-trailer. I'm a little disappointed. Like, there's the one that I saw, there are literally no scenes from the show. It just plays the music, which is awesome. By the way, pop quiz fact. Jamie and I played the Stranger Things theme music. This was my choice to walk out to at our wedding. That's how much we were into it at that point in time. But still into it. Great show. But anyway, so the trailer came out. It literally just plays the theme music. Doop, 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 doop. You guys all know it. And then lists the episodes, which I believe there are 8. So it's like, okay, it doesn't really tell anything, except the only thing that I remember is I think the final episode, the 8th episode, is called The Right Side Up, as opposed to The Upside Down. It's something like that, if it's not exactly that. So I think that's pretty cool, but we'll see. Very much anticipating it. It's 2025. I don't think they've released the date of when Stranger Things Season 5 is going to come out, but I'm here for it. You know, late winter, spring, summer, fall, early winter of 2025. I don't care. Like, just give it to me. Give me the show. I want to see it. And hopefully I'll watch it like soon after it's released. I know with season 4, Jamie and I were way behind on that. We watched that months after it came out. And I was very disappointed in myself, I'll say. But anyway, so that's going to be awesome. And then also Severance did announce a date. January 17th, 19th, something like that, for season 2 of Severance. And kudos to them, credit to them. They did actually show a couple scenes in their trailer for season 2. So that's going to be awesome. Definitely looking forward to that. I mean, again, looking forward to both of them, but just hyped to get back into some good streamed television shows. It's kind of the way of the world at this point. So, yeah, that should be fun to see what comes of that. But anyway, and then what was the other thing I was going to mention? I can't remember. That's right. The final thing that I wanted to talk about was, you know, look, here on the BroPod Network, we don't talk about politics. There's a number of reasons why we don't do that. Or again, we don't do it to any real extent. There's a number of reasons why we don't do that, not the least of which is there are some political ideologies and things that Todd and I don't agree on. So, which is interesting because I am, and have been for most of my life, rather apolitical. I do vote. I did vote. It's none of your business, but I do vote, and I did vote in this past election. And I'm proud to say that I paid a lot more attention to the local issues, not necessarily the local candidates, but, you know, voting on certain Colorado amendments and things that affect my local government, because I feel like kind of on my day-to-day life, those tend to have more of an impact. I've realized that in the last couple elections. So anyway, but one thing that I just wanted to talk about briefly because I thought it was very interesting and probably unexpected. I think the fact that this happened in general is not unexpected, but the specifics of this happening I think are unexpected. And that's something, I've not talked about this in a long time on this podcast in any way, shape, or form. But that is the price of Bitcoin. And cryptocurrency in general has kind of gone bananas in the last week. I mean, again, it's technically Wednesday, early Wednesday morning at this point, after 1 a.m. But as I'm recording this, the day that I've still been living is Tuesday. So And since it's just after 1 a.m., it's technically about exactly a week since the results of the election were kind of confirmed. And if you look at the price of Bitcoin, Tuesday, November 5th, it was 68,000. In real time, it's 87,000. So it's gone up $20,000. It's just gone through the roof. Now, again, there are plenty of political reasons that I'm almost positive that's happening. But it's also, it's just interesting that an entire market, an entire currency and market for said currency would go through the roof based on a presidential election result. Now, some people have said, and same thing with the stock market, by the way. The stock market has been incredibly healthy the past, except for today. But the past week, it's gone bananas as well. Some people are saying it's merely the fact that the election was decided the night of the election. As we know, last time around and the time before that, it took a while to ratify. And also going back 24 years, I believe it was, the Bush-Gore debacle. With the hanging chads and all of that. The market, Todd and I have talked about this a lot because God knows Todd is not a man of the economy, but the market moves on information about the companies that make up the market, the stock market specifically. It also moves on, it doesn't move on emotion. That's a misconception a lot of people have, but it does move on the expectation of things happening. And again, I think the market in general, not the crypto market, I'll get back to that in a second, but the market in general, the days leading into the election, it was kind of like, there were a lot of, I think the week before the election, like Google, Facebook, all those, you know, Amazon, all those companies released earnings. And so there was definitely some action and activity around that, but we were all kind of bracing for election results. Will we get them? And if we do, what will be the outcome? And it's just crazy that, you know, it was announced that Trump had won, and the 4 to 5 days after that, the market just went nuts. But the Bitcoin market went specifically nuts. And I say that is even more interesting because, unlike the U.S. stock market, the BTC market, the Bitcoin market, is international, and it's 24 hours. So literally, as soon as the announcement was made, it started going bananas, and it has continued. I mean, a $20,000 rally upward is crazy. That's not something to just dismiss. And again, I'm not saying this in a political way at all. Obviously, I'm happy about it on both fronts because I have stock investments. I have a Bitcoin investment as well. But the fact that all of that can happen based on, admittedly, the predominant superpower in the world, but still, the predominant superpower in the world financially just selecting a leader for the next 4 years doesn't seem like the old supply and demand that we learned in Econ 101 back in high school and in college, or even, you know, earning potential and quarterly results and 30Ks and all that that you may have learned about if you took any finance classes in college or high school, I suppose. But so it is intriguing to me how, I don't want to say they're fickle, but certainly the Bitcoin market is just very reactive. And it's in real time. Like the stock market couldn't do anything Tuesday night on November 5th when it was announced. But the next day, boom, the Dow was up over 1,000 points, I think. And the rally continued until literally today, Tuesday the 11th, or the 12th, I'm sorry, when it kind of cooled off. But just wacky stuff going on out there in the world. Again, this is not a financial advice podcast, so financial investments are not guaranteed to make you money. You can lose money by investing in anything that I'm talking about. And so invest at your own risk and with money that you can afford to lose if you must. But anyway, so yeah, just been keeping an eye on that for obvious reasons. Just kind of intrigued by it. So with that, I'm going to call it a pod. I am absolutely exhausted. And I got 30 minutes in the tank here. So in the bank, I should say. See, that's how tired I am. It was funny. I'll leave you guys with this. Hours ago, this was at 3:30, I think. I had a meeting for work, and we had jumped on the Teams call, and you know, people were kind of saying hi to each other. And I don't know that I've ever done this, but I literally said, someone was like, "Oh, hey, Scott," and I legitimately said, "Oh, hey, Scott," not because there was someone else named Scott on the call. I started saying, this is what I think happened in my brain. I started saying, "Hey," and then I looked at the, you know, Brady Bunch squares on the screen. I saw my own name and I said hi to myself. And I immediately acknowledged it. I was like, "Sorry, guys, it's been a long day," which it really hadn't, but that was the only explanation I had for saying hi to myself. So kind of wacky. But anyway, so yeah, that's it. I'm going to call it. Thanks for listening to another special episode of Scott Speaks. If you have any questions, comments, criticisms, requests, email the show, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com. Slide into our DMs on Instagram or X @the_bro_pod. And yeah, wherever you're listening to this fine podcast, tell a friend, grow the show with more listeners. We would appreciate that. So yeah, next week should be back with a normal one. So look forward to that. And as always, thanks for listening, guys.